standing in the middle of the stage, like you can't help but, yeah. So we are in week 5 of Christian. Week 5. So if you have missed the first 4 weeks, you can definitely go back and listen to them. But we're talking about how if you call yourself a Christian, you can do whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, you can think whatever you want, because Christian is not an actual term. It is not something that Christ followers used to describe themselves. Christ called us, Jesus called us disciples. He said, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show. And that's a scripture we've been using in John 13, 35. But Jesus actually takes it a little bit further. He doesn't just say, by the love that you show. He says, they will know you're my disciples if you love one another the same way that I have loved you. Ooh, there's a struggle. There's where we feel it. There's where it gets heavy. Because we all think we know something about love. We all think, I know how to love people. You just like hold the door open for them, right? Wave as you drive past them. Be real Southern. That's how you love. Yeah, that's all good. But Jesus said, love them the way that I have loved you. And so today we're going to look at how John described that. So like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John wrote the gospel. Kind of a big deal. So John actually made it all the way like late into his life. So when his other, you know, all his guys, all his buddies, all his crew, they had been like killed off, you know, because they were Christians. John actually survived late into life. And so he wrote what we call the Gospel of John. He wrote that 40 years after Jesus. So what's cool about his gospel is he gets to write through the lens of experience. So he was there and he walked with Jesus and he was part of the crew and he understood it all and he saw it firsthand, saw the miracles. Man, that's awesome. He got to hear every single one of the sermons that Jesus preached on the side of every single hill. He got to see it all. Then he lives 40 years and he experiences what's happening to Christians. He experiences what's happening to the followers of Jesus. And then he sits down. He's been talking about it and talking about it. And finally someone's like, hey, John, you're not a spring chicken anymore. Maybe you should write this stuff down. And he's like, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. So he sits down and he writes his gospel. And he starts out, and it's so beautiful. He starts out describing Jesus as a word. And how that word, from that word, all creation existed. That word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he describes, he paints this like picture of Jesus being an artist and creating something as if it were a painting. And he creates this beautiful masterpiece and then steps into it. It says that he dwelt among us. He steps into his creation, and yet his creation denied who he was and didn't know him and rejected him. And so it's just so beautiful in that first chapter of John when he's describing Jesus in such a symbolic way. And it's so powerful to our lives as Christ followers. And this is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, talking about Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now here's a struggle with grace and truth. We like grace when we're talking about ourselves, and we like truth when we're talking about other people. But Jesus was full of grace and truth. This looks like I'm going to do a magic trick. I just realized that just now when I was about to. I am not going to pull a rabbit from anywhere, I assure you. But this is what we do. We go, well, grace says, don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay. And truth says, oh no, you better worry about it. And truth says, I'm a hot mess. That's truth. But grace says, but look at what I can do through you, even in your hot mess. Grace says, you're fine. Truth says, you're wrong. Grace and truth. They never line up. They never say the same thing. And so we look at the love of Jesus, the way that he loved us, and we're like, we can't balance the two of them. That seems to cause a struggle between the two sides. And this is what John continues on in verse 16. From his fullness, he was full of grace and truth, to the brim, full. From his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. The original Greek actually says blessing upon blessing. that grace is our blessing. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. If you notice, John used two different words there. That the law, talking about like the 600 laws and then the 10 commandments, the law was given through Moses. Those are good things. Laws help us understand our parameters. But grace and truth came. They were birthed. They were created through Jesus. That prior to him, we didn't truly understand grace or truth, and yet he was full of both. And we see this throughout the Bible time and time again in Jesus's ministry. The woman at the well, Jesus should have never had a conversation with her to begin with. She was a woman, a Samaritan, alone. They should have never even had a conversation. And yet grace sat down and had a conversation. And then that conversation starts and he says, "Where's your husband?" And she's like, "I don't have a husband." Truth walks in and goes, "You're right, you've had 5 husbands. And the one that you're with now isn't even your husband." Whoa! We're not supposed to talk about that stuff, Jesus. We're not supposed to make people feel bad about their choices. Grace and truth. Because then he follows it up and says, "I will give you," because they're at a well, he uses context, "I will give you water that will keep you from ever thirsting ever again." He reveals to this woman, who he should have never had a conversation with, who he truly is. This was the first time in scripture that he locked eyes with someone and said, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the guy. The one you guys have been waiting and praying for." Ta-da! Grace and truth. That he was full of both. Think of Matthew, like the book of Matthew. One of Jesus' closest followers. That guy was a tax collector. Tax collectors, you think you don't like them now. People really did not like tax collectors back in the day. And so this is who Jesus brings onto his crew and travels around with. And the other guys are like, "Jesus, do you know what they're going to say when they find out we got a tax collector? Nobody's going to listen to us." And Jesus was like, "Hang on. Not only is he part of our crew, we're going to go to his house. We're going to hang out at his house." Grace and truth. That it was a balance, a struggle between both. When we look at the criminals on the cross, Jesus was there between two criminals. And if you grew up in church and you heard this story in, you know, like Sunday school or in children's church, we called them thieves. Listen, cross deaths were reserved for the most heinous of people. So they were most likely far beyond thieves. And so they're there on the cross and one guy looks at Jesus and he's like, "We're the worst of the worst." And Jesus is like, "Yup." Like he doesn't, "Oh no, buddy, it's okay." Like truth says, "Yeah." But then grace said, "I'm about to go someplace that is far beyond your imagination, and you're going to be there with me." Full of grace, full of truth. There's a painting that you will all know, The Last Supper. It was Leonardo da Vinci that painted this. And what's so beautiful about it is we can get a depiction from the imagination of da Vinci of what grace and truth, living among the fullness of grace and truth, must have looked like. Because in this scene, this in scripture is when Jesus has just told Judas, "You're going to betray me. You're going to deny me. You're going to be on the other side of this in just a short while." And so do we have that picture, Nathan? This is right here in this portion of scripture in Matthew 26, starting in verse 20. It says, "When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me.'" So he's saying, "Judas, you're the guy. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And he said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. So this is like the portion that we always read during communion. Like we don't really talk about the part right before it where Judas betrayed Jesus. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and with it, he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. So that's what we see right here, a depiction of this, of someone full of grace and truth. Because first he says, hey, Judas, you're going to deny me. But man, I can't wait to be with you guys in heaven. Judas, you're going to mess this whole thing up. But let's have communion together one last time. And I think that this is a perfect depiction of the church. That there is chaos swirling all around us. We're all trying to figure out which way we should go, what's right, what's wrong. And in the middle of it all is Jesus. Calm, serene, with all the answers, full of grace, full of truth, meeting us in the middle of our struggle between the two. If you want to know what Jesus meant, watch what he did. When he said, love each other the way that I have loved you, what did he do? He called sin, sin, and then said, I love you anyway. He met people where they are in the midst of their chaos and said, that's not good, but I am. That seems tough, but I love you anyway. When your sin is too much for you to handle, he loves you anyway. When you feel too far gone, too hot of a mess for him, he loves you anyway. That he is there full of grace and truth. There's a struggle there, and if we try to resolve it, we lose something. We lose sight of loving people the way that Jesus told us to love them. Because you know what you call a group of liars, cheaters, jealous people, greedy people, people who eat too much, say the wrong thing, talk bad about others. But know that Jesus is the light of the world and that we all need more light. The church. That's a church. We all need grace because grace is what saves us from the mess that we have made. But we all need truth because we need those warning signs to tell us, look out, it's coming. Full of grace and truth. And so what the church does, just the way that Jesus did, is we are full of grace and truth. We call sin, sin, and we love each other anyway. That we look at what we've said about grace and what we've said about truth. See, I wish I would have had more time with this. It would have been so much cuter, guys, but it's okay. We look at grace and we look at truth, and we're full of both. Full to the brim. Nailed it. We're full to the brim of grace and truth. And there's a struggle, but we can't resolve it. Because in that struggle is where we find Jesus, right in the middle. The church is at its best when we embrace both and refuse to let go of either. Full of grace, full of truth, all of both. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and we are very, very thankful for your word. That God, even in our fast timing, Lord, and even in our abbreviated messages, you are still so evident. The power of your word is still so purposeful. Thank you for being grace for us in the middle of our mess. And thank you for loving us enough to tell us the truth, to give us the truth, to be truth for us. So God, just as we've done over these past 3 years, we want to continue to be more like you, to look more like you, to act more like you, to think more like you, to love the way that you have loved us. So thank you, God, for this message and for this time and for these people. Thank you for challenging us and changing us. In your name we pray. Amen.